This episode is sponsored by FX's Shogun, available exclusively on Disney+. Shogun is an epic saga, powerful and engrossing, filled with romance, beauty, violence, and unexpected humor. Based on the critically acclaimed best-selling epic novel by James Clavell, Shogun is set in feudal Japan at the dawn of the Edo period in 1603. The tale charts the collision of two ambitious men from different worlds and a mysterious female samurai. But this is not your grandparents' samurai story. Shogun is an edgy modern drama full of epic twists and turns. Armies will converge, cannonballs will fly, and blood will spill. Don't miss this action-packed historical drama, FX's Shogun, a new original series now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like. Because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as usual, is the wonderful and glorious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. Na-na-na-na-na.
Welcome to Summer House Day. Before we get started, this was originally going to be a bonus. We actually recorded as if it were a bonus episode, and then we realized that actually we are going to put this on the main feed. So if you hear the recording and it sounds like we're talking like it's a bonus episode, it's because that's how we recorded it. Before we dive into that, just a reminder, we got some shows in Europe going on in London. London, Dublin, and Birmingham, which apparently we've been saying Birmingham. It's Birmingham. And also, we have Netflix is a Joke coming up at the Kookaburra Lounge in Hollywood, California. So all the links to all those shows, which are all happening in May, are at watchcrappens.com. We hope to see you there. And now, let's get in to the old Summer House recap, shall we? Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens bonus episode. I'm Ben. That's Ronnie. How's it going, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Bean. What you doing?
Not much. I'm just excited to talk some Summer House, this shit show of a season in the best possible way. It's continuing on. I love it because last week it was like, Lindsay is such a monster. But I feel like this week it's like, well, she is also working with Carl. She's got to deal with Carl. So the pendulum swings from week to week.
Listen, guys, I know that a lot of my comments were controversial with some of you. I'm saying I'm sticking up for Lindsay too much, but I'm going to give you a piece of knowledge that I learned from my mother a long time ago that I will never forget. And that is this saying, Rondell, no woman makes herself crazy. Okay? Mm. Behind every good man is a good woman. And behind every crazy woman is a man. Mm. And I believe it. I have not seen proof otherwise to this day, and I'm an old bitch, so I stand by it.
Yeah, well, let's dive right into it. So we're picking up right where we left off with Lindsay. We're still in their fight from it's the morning after she's accused him of being high on coke, and she's like, you were treating me like shit last night. Why'd you say that I am sober right now?
When she tells us, oh my god, he was cocaine, girl. I love that. I need that movie. Cocaine it's like Carl. The sequel to Cocaine Bear, just Cocaine Carl. Because later we get a clip of Cocaine Carl, and it is so Carl. Just like, what? We're not dating. We're not.
Whoa, you're like crazy right now.
So she's like, why would you say right now if you meant you're sober? And he goes, because in that moment, you were not sober. So you were drinking all day long. You are rude and aggressive to me. I'm trying to be supportive of you. And you shut me down. And I'm like fighting you. So I was saying, I'm sober right now.
You're screaming at me. Why are you screaming at me right now?
Because I'm upset. And I'm allowed to be upset. And I'm allowed to have emotions. Like, have you ever heard of that? Like, you're allowed to get pissed off whenever you want. So why can't I have emotions?
I don't scream. I do not scream.
I'm not screaming.
You were screaming.
He's like, I'm frustrated. Okay, but you keep pushing him too. You know what I mean? Like, you keep pushing that button. So why are you... Lindsay is so Lindsay. She's like, oh my God, you're drunk. You're a cokehead. I'm going to leave it. Oh my God, why are you yelling at me?
I know. Disgusting. She totally does that.
Why are you...
That's the thing. She's like, can you believe how he was like acting? He was like so wild this morning. It's like you came in and were like, you came in with such an attitude and were so angry. And then like you're accusing him of screaming. It's wild.
It's so funny. But it's also such a couple who have gone to therapy 2 times. You know how you can tell those couples? Because they've learned the right things. Like the worst thing to do is to lose your cool in a conversation. So they just stay... They just provoke each other until the other one gets pissed. And when the other one gets pissed, they're like, I won because you're pissed. And they both do it. And it's hilarious. You guys, you have to go. You have to go to therapy more than 2 times.
Yay. Yeah. So he goes out. I'm going to take my morning run. And then everyone else is sort of like waking up and doing things. Kyle's taking the dogs out to pee. Wes wants to do a cannonball in the pool. So he does a cannonball in the pool. And so Carl comes back from his run and he's in the kitchen and he sees Gabby there. Hey, good morning. Sorry, I'm a little sweaty. I was just like doing my morning run. It's kind of like my thing, you know? Like, yeah, wake up early, do my run. It's kind of healthy new Carl. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He's like, thanks for checking in last night. Oh, yeah, that was just for you. That wasn't because she was in bed next to Lindsay, proving what a good friend she is by calling you on speaker.
Okay, bye. Okay.
Yeah, well. She's like, yeah, I just need to, like, simmer a bit. Because, like, she, like, had a weird feeling. And, like, she was going to – all the girls were going to hate her because she wasn't in the girls' car. But then I was like, it's okay that you're not in the girls' car. But then she was like, it's not okay. You don't understand. And I was like, whoa. I'm just being calm here. Why am I calm and you're not calm? It's like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like, it's, like, a problem because, like, I'm calm. I just want to get it out there so everybody understands. I was calm in that situation, so I won that fight.
Yeah, she was like, you're attacking me. And I'm like, I'm not attacking you. I was like, calm. And then we cut to Paige blowing her nose, just like very Paige, like, like that. And then she comes in the kitchen and she's like, so what happened last night? I like didn't black out, because black is like last season. I like browned out, which is much more on trend. And like, if someone brought up a memory.
Paige to like be lazy in her blackout. Like, you can't even give a full blackout. You're going to brown out, Paige. Come on. It's like, that's like a blackout, but I'm doing it from bed. So.
So Jesse was flirting with Paige. And Lindsay's asking how long Danielle stayed out. They're just sort of like chatting. And West is talking to a dog. There's like one of the dogs he's talking to it. And he's like, you're very handsome. You look very handsome right now. And Paige is like, it's a girl. So she's gorgeous and beautiful. He goes, but handsome still works for dogs, girl dogs. She goes, fuck off.
So then Lindsay is telling Gabby, which it's like, lady, could you stop ruining everybody's summers all the time with your relationship drama? My God, every fucking summer. It's like, oh my God, this is how I got fucked over last night by the guy I'm with. Okay, so I tried to go in there this morning, but I was like, you were nice last night. And he was like, so defensive. And he was like, cutting me off. And then before you know it, he's like this hairy beast running through the forest, killing hot people. Cocaine bear Carl.
So she's like, yeah, it was just like, are you like what's going on? Like, it was like old Carl, like more life Carl. It was like very dismissive and like aggressive. And like, I absolutely get like PTSD from like that Carl. So then we get the,
I mean, love. I get it, but don't marry Vietnam. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. It's like, well, the thing is this, Carl is very fresh on his journey, and there's still lots of work to do. So, like, maybe give it some space. Give it some space before we jump into that.
Also, don't marry a person without a job.
Or that.
Standing
or
by that.
Who's never...
Okay, there are signs here that we learned throughout this episode that I'm like, Okay, you're just making bad decisions now, okay? There's nothing I could... Listen, I've got your back, but at some point, make better decisions, okay?
Yeah.
I think that's my macro note for this episode. So she's like...
I think that's what's hard with Carl is that, like, he has never been good with employment, and I think that we thought, oh, it's because he had substance abuse issues, and so now that he is sober, like, he'll be a much more productive and useful employee or worker. But now we're realizing it might not be a substance issue. It might be a Carl issue.
One of the hardest things about getting sober is stuff that you blamed on non-sobriety was not the problem.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of a detour, unfortunately. Yeah. That's just how life works. It's not just Carl. It's really all of us. You know what I mean? So it's like you're really big and you want to lose a lot of weight because your life is going to get so much better. It doesn't necessarily. You're still the same person who just wants a Snickers underneath it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're lazy, you don't want to go to work, and you blame it on smoking too much weed. Guess what? You stop doing the weed, you still can't get your thoughts together, and you still don't want to fucking work, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes we're just doing what we can to get along. Just got very sad. Okay, I quit.
I quit
the show. I've reached the end of the show. Thank you for coming.
So, the producer asked Lindsay if she ever thought at any point Carl was not sober. She's like, no. So they're like, well, then why did you feel like you wanted to tell him that you're not acting sober? You're not sober.
I mean, listen, I 1000% like should have used like more delicate words in that moment, which admittedly were like non-yelling words. Let's just remind everyone that. But I'm like also like so taken back by his like aggressiveness in this moment. I'm like trying to figure out like where it's coming from. And like he's treating me in a way that's like just like startling. And like it's just like very much like old Carl, which I have PTSD from. So like that's why I said it that way.
So then we go to Carl and Kyle, and Kyle, you know, hates this relationship as usual. And so he's going to do his usual, oh, I love Lindsay, but I do really think that, like, it's right. Cause like, she was so wrong last time. Like, did you really think you're going to last with Lindsay? Which, you know, as his best friend, I think he's kind of allowed to say that, but weren't you the one last year who was like, fucking Carl, I had to stand up for you when you came in on coke and ruined that meeting and all of this other stuff. Let's not act like you're so on a level above Lindsay, sir. Okay. It was just last season.
It was just last season that you threw Carl's drug issues in
his face. Right.
Right. So Carl's like, well, I just don't want to like blame her. And Kyle's like, yeah, but Carl, like last night was like unacceptable. Like, I've heard like some crazy shit, but this is like next level. And I can see you're like trying to make compromises or sacrifices and like you're trying to solve the problem. But like last night, she was the problem. Okay. Wedding is November. Like, does this freak you out? Do you maybe want to cancel it? You should probably cancel it. Should we just like never invite her back to the summer house? I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
And what everybody should be saying before their wedding, he goes,
I think that it makes me sad more than anything. Thinking about the wedding.
Yeah. I think more than anything, I'm sad. Kyle's like, yeah, well, but like, how many times does something have to go down? Like, where she's like pinning it on you, but like, it had nothing to do with you. Cause like, that's a long life of like falling on a sword. You know what I mean? Like, how long are you gonna do that? Like, if you're gonna whip out your sword, I hope it's with me in a backyard while we're crossing streams. You know what I mean? Are we gonna still be able to do that? Let's take out our dicks right now.
Yeah, but bro, like, I hear what he's saying, but like, we do have, like, a neon sign together, and so, like, if we were to break up, like, who gets the sign? Like, what happens to the sign? Are we still a rat house? Do we just have a sign that someone has rat and someone has house? Like, you have to think about these things, bro.
Every time I think about leaving her, that giant Blockbuster video store-style cutout of Lindsay stares back at me, and, like, her smile is so nice, and she's just, like, so flat that I'm like, this is gonna work, and then I start making out with it.
Have you ever made out with cardboard before? It's like actually like really it's cool. Hot. Yeah, it's hot. It's like really hot.
So now everyone's in the kitchen talking about going to the beach today. Paige is like, I might go in the ocean today. Like it's wild. And they're just like Sierra and Wes are sort of like flirting. And Sierra once again gives us this bullshit where she's like, you know what? Like, as far as I'm concerned, it's like a very fleeting moment of flirting. And I'm like having fun, but like, I'm not like doing a timeline to marriage and all that shit. Like, it's the second week in. Like, we have to live together. Okay. They say, don't shit where you eat. And I did that before, remember? And we get flashbacks to Austin. And I'm like, I just think that it's amazing how Austin can still cock block from like the past. Like, that's how terrible he is. He's just always cock blocking no matter what. Like, it's people like Austin who ruin it for people like West.
It's just tall people in general, I think, who ruin everything. I think if everybody was short, the world would be nice. I mean, look at something like the Smurfs. They had a lovely life. The only person that was trouble was the tall person, the taller person, Gargamel.
Gargamel.
Ruined fucking everything, you know? And I think that's the show. In a nutshell,
yeah.
Everybody should be short. Of course, we would have no ratings. Nobody would watch it, you know?
We need tall people to prey on short girls who have daddy issues. So everyone's getting ready, and Amanda's like, I need to shower, Kyle. I don't want to be the last one, Kyle. And he's like, well, you want to get in here with me? What'd you say?
Shower timing is like Amanda's thing this season. Like, Kyle, you need to shower at the right time. I don't want you to shower at the wrong time, Kyle. That was her thing last week. And he's like, you want to come here and get in the shower with me? It's like, I don't want to be naked next to you.
So everyone else is getting ready. There's awkwardness with Carl and Lindsay as they get ready silently in their room. And then Gabby has this really, really good call with her sister Danielle. And she's like, oh my God, Danielle, Lindsay and Carl got into a huge fight. And Danielle's like, no. And Gabby's like, mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm, girl, mm-hmm, wow, mm-hmm.
And Gabby's like, well, at the end of the day, the issue with her is that, like, she came in and had all these issues with the girls. I mean, well, that was her own issue until she started shit with Carl for no reason. Like, that was not. So, oh, we're going to deal with that now, I guess. Girl. So then Carl's like, all right, let's go. I'm going to get shotgun to Sierra's car. So they go to the beach for fun and games time.
Yeah, and Amanda's like, Kyle spends more time with his speakers than he does his wife. And I'm actually on Amanda's side about this because I don't know if I can respect someone who brings large speakers to a public beach. Like, that's just obnoxious. Like, I don't...
Well, Kyle's fixation with speakers. Amanda, nobody has a problem with that. I mean, all she does everywhere she goes is go... I mean, which would you prefer, you know? I prefer
true.
The Pioneer brand myself.
He is really obsessed with those speakers. So he brings
But you're right, yeah, bringing speakers. Giant speakers to a public beach.
To play, to blast LMFAO? Like, no thank you.
You've got a thing with LMFAO.
I don't know, I said that last week too. I don't know why I'm so mad at them.
You are pissed at LMFAO. I've seen their wieners. Well, I saw the short one's wiener.
Really?
Big. Yeah.
In real life?
I did that MTV spring break thing
right.
for Buna Murray in Acapulco or wherever that was. Like,
yeah,
had we started this yet? Or was it, I guess it was probably right before we started Watch What Crap Happens, right? Or was it around that time?
Around that time.
And they were doing spring break, and it was the challenge. They were doing like a challenge thing there. So all those guys were there. CT and his hotness was there. And who was I talking? Oh, LMFAO were like the special guests or whatever. And so I had to write all the sketches, like the comedy sketches they do between commercial breaks and stuff. And there was one where they were naked. I wrote one they were naked on the beach because that's how I roll. I'm like, you know, wow. Why not? This is my casting beach. And that little one has a big one.
Wow. Well, no wonder why they broke up. Maybe Red Food just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
So I once saw Red Food. I think Red Food used to live near you. I used to see him walking on the street by your place.
He was nice. He was a really nice guy.
He seems nice.
Blue was the one who got into trouble later, right?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just know they broke up.
Okay. So big.
No, that story was so good. I was.
Sorry.
I would actually say I was LMFAO.
Sorry, it really didn't go anywhere.
I like
it. All I had to say was that guy had a big one.
No, it was good. Took us to a place. Took us to a beach. All right, hey, I need some lotion. Can you get like my back, bro? Yeah, someone put the lotion on me. Yeah. And now Carl and Danielle are playing very sad football, wherein they throw a ball, like they're 5 feet away from each other, throwing a ball back and forth. Hey, Danielle, you throw a better spiral than I do.
So anybody want a party? Anyone want a party? Not that kind of spiral, Danielle. Okay, come back to the present. Come back to the present.
I guess so, when you go through a spiral, you can throw a spiral. Good job.
He's talking about how being away from Loverboy for a summer, it's like, it's been so nice to not have all that work pressure. You know, like all that stuff I had to do, like, I don't know, like unpacking soda waters and then like telling people, hey, want to drink this soda water? And then
They would, like, drink it. It was so hard.
Yeah, like, you know, like, work pressure is, like, something that I've had to deal with for, like, 3 weeks every summer before I get fired. So it's just, like, nice to be away from it.
So difficult. I mean, that job really made me think, like, God, I miss the days I was taking floss from doctor's office to doctor's, to dentist's office to dentist's office.
Man, like, it was so much pressure having to write a proposal about how I could take on a larger role with more pressure. So it was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot. She goes, yeah, so what are you doing these days? Are you just looking? And he's like, oh, you know, I'm taking my time a little bit, like, trying to figure out what I want, you know, reset a little bit. Because I've been in transition with my career, you know, leaving Loverboy, I thought was the best thing for me. But, you know, like, I have to figure out where I'm going next. You know, I'm gifted at sales and relationships,
yeah.
Building relationships. Those are really good. So,
you know, they always say leave them wanting more. So that's why, like, I'm so good at sales. That's why I think I always get fired, because, like, they leave them wanting more sales. So it was great. More life, more sales. Mm-hmm.
So now Jesse is talking to Kyle, and he's like, bro, Loverboy has so many flavors. I just can't tell which ones I like. So we're still on this Loverboy commercial thing. And then Paige is like, last night at my club, it was me, or at the club, not mine. I don't own it. Just in my head. But it was me, Sierra, Wes, Jesse Solomon. And he leans over to me, and he's like, oh, my God. He put his hand on my knee. And, like, immediately I was like, you cannot do that. And then I lie down and took a nap. It was, but really, to be nice. Fair, it's like the best part of the night, honestly.
He had condensation on his hand, and he put it on my, like, new Zara pant. And it's like, I paid half off for this, and I'm not going to have it ruined with your wet hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's laying it on really thick. I want to be like, you know that she has a boyfriend, right? And Craig is, like, not going to mess around if someone's coming after his girlfriend.
Yeah, he will, like, beat somebody up if they're coming after me.
Yeah, like, Craig's, like, big and tough. He's so strong. Like, everyone's afraid of Craig.
Yeah, like, they call him the pillow guy, but, like, he'll muffle you to death with a pillow. Like, he's totally not afraid. He'll totally go to battle for his woman.
Yeah, he's like Gladiator, but, like, with pillows.
Have you seen the holes in his walls? Yeah, he will literally punch a wall if he thinks the wall is hitting on me. He's like that.
One time, I brushed against a wall when I was drunk, and Greg stabbed it with a butter knife because he thought the wall.
He maimed himself in my honor. It was hot. I barely remember it just because I browned out.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, grown-ups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast. And those plans are the opposite of quiet. Sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Wondery Kids Plus on Apple Podcasts today.
So she's basically, she's like, you know what? If Craig ever told me that a girl touched his leg at a club, I would get my ass on a plane and be down in Charleston in 2 hours, and then I would be right back because I'm like, ew, I hate this city. I'm not even going to go back there to yell at Craig. Get me back to New York.
Get on a plane so fast, then get on the plane, and I'd be like, I hate planes. This plane is so stupid. I never thought of flying anyway. It's so dangerous.
I know. I'd be like, oh my God, I need to yell at Craig, but all these people are not wearing black. It's like gross, and I'm going to go back to New York City now. So then
they're dancing and they're shotgunning lever boys, LOL. And Lindsay's talking to Danielle and she's like, when we went to lunch, you said there was one guy you were talking to. And then I was like, can we get the check, please? And then I waited for you to pay it, but then you didn't. That was hilarious. I think you were talking about a guy, weren't you? I forgot. We did go to lunch, right, Danielle?
Yeah, there's like a couple of guys up at Dog and Do. I mean, I am fed, okay? I went to the Sunday lounge
so
and I got sent, okay? The debauchery happened.
when she said, I've been fed, okay? And then she, like, leans out her lover boy for a cheers, and Lindsay's like, clink?
I don't know if I can support this cringe right now, but sure.
Send it.
Send it?
Please come to the Send It Lounge.
The Send It Lounge is open for business for all-night debauchery, I suppose.
So then West is talking to Carl about Lindsay, and nothing's resolved, guys. So then we cut back, and Danielle's like, yeah, well, I had, like, a really good conversation with Carl. Like, we partied, like, but, like, alcohol-free, which is cool, but, like, he could still send it. Just, like, sober send it, you know? So it was, like, a sober send. It was really good.
Yeah, it's like, UFPS.
Well, you know, like, I think he likes you. And she's like, well, he doesn't know what he wants to do after a year. And, like, he's been trying to figure it out. But, like, come on. Like, this year, I leaned into Lindsay, the influencer, and I made so much money from, like, brand deals and campaigns, and, you know, it's basically similar to what Paige does.
It's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Competition. Influencer competition.
The difference is, like Paige does fashion, but, like, for me, like, I hold up burgers. So, like, that was, like, my influence. I'm, like, a burger influencer.
Because they have this picture of Lindsay just holding a burger. Like,
now suddenly, like, there are so many less cows in the world because, like, I've really turned people onto beef.
Yeah, so, like, smash that like button for a smash burger.
Like and subscribe, you stupid cokeheads. Lindsay.
So then Lindsay, this was hilarious to me because Lindsay, this topic about Carl's job clearly exhausts her. So she's like, well, since Carl quit Loverboy last summer, we've been trying to figure out what he's into. And she's, like, still trying to be, like, optimistic, but she's very worn out by this. You know, he, like, talked at one point about wanting to start a podcast, so we got a podcast equipment, which was great, and I had to move my free burgers out of the way so he could put up a microphone. That was great. And he always talks about how he, like, went to school for TV and film production, and he wants to be a motivational speaker, and yeah, I'm like, okay, so there's a few things you need to figure out there. Not going crazy at all.
And then she's talking about how they hired a career coach for him, and it cost $20,000 for 6 months for this career coach, and he still doesn't know what he wants to do. Listen, don't date someone who's
going Uber. Drive Uber.
Sorry. I'm sorry. There are so many flags here. Get out of this relationship immediately. Don't marry someone without a job. Do not marry someone who spends $20,000 of presumably your money on a career coach. No, Carl's a good guy. Carl's working really hard on himself. He needs to do that on his own time until he's ready. You can't make somebody jump into a relationship. And maybe he's never going to be ready. Not everybody is, like, a huge career person, and that's okay too.
That's, you know, okay, but, like, he needs to figure, he's figuring out his shit, and she needs to, like, let him figure, it's not even like she needs to let him. She should do something else while he figures it out, because she needs someone who knows where they're going in life.
Yeah, you know, maybe he doesn't have any ambition. Maybe he's, like, a family guy. He doesn't have ambitions for a job, but maybe he'll be, like, a great dad, a stay-at-home dad or whatever. But Lindsay's not going to want that. I mean, she says it with, she basically says it in this
she
episode.
She says it. And so then, meanwhile, Lindsay's like, so, by the way, this was huge progress for Lindsay asking Danielle questions. In the middle of Lindsay being talking about herself, she stops to ask Danielle questions, which, by the way, now that I say it out loud, has there ever been a worse omen for this relationship that Lindsay doesn't even want to talk about it? That's bad. So Lindsay's like, so, by the way, are you going to date a chef again? And Danielle's like, no. I think I want a musician as my next person. Danielle.
I can't. Jesus, why don't you just go for a heroin dealer? I mean,
Danielle.
Like, I've decided to start just writing letters to guys in jail. That's my.
You know what? I want to, you know what? You know what would be great? Someone who works in the record industry.
Show where zero people learn their lessons. Okay? No one has ever learned their lesson on this show.
Danielle. There's, like, no upside to that. None whatsoever.
So Lindsay's like, well, I know a musician and he's coming to my wedding and you have an RSVP to my wedding. And Danielle's like, oh my God. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because, like, the reason I haven't, like, RSVP it is because I've been sending it. Yeah, I've got like a line of guys out my door. So I'm like, send it, send it. I've got like a send it stamp. So I'm just like, send it, send it. Ah, RSVP at some point, right? Too busy, send it. So she's like, I just wanted to make sure you really want me there, Lindsay. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, we need to have someone that we can all laugh at. So she's like, okay. So, Danielle's basically like, yeah, no, Lindsay and I are off to a great start. Everything's like, we're rebuilding. Everything's good. Everything's good. Everything's good. So then there's like some other stuff. Wes and Paige are like going to look at the waves, and then Sierra and Jesse are just like also like chatting or whatever. And Paige is like, by the way, Wes, you are like fitting in seamlessly. Like, I feel like we're like friends for life. Like, please tell me you enjoy a good half off sale. He's like, yeah, I would be heartbroken if we weren't friends for life.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so glad when a short person comes into the house, because you know they're well-intentioned. So then Carl and Lindsay have their talk finally. And he's like, you want to talk? Like, look, this reminds me of when we had pictures taken on the beach after we got engaged. So,
yeah.
Let's remember that. Let's remember the good times. Let's remember the good times where we basically sold pictures of us getting engaged, because you're an influencer now. I was so proud of you.
Hold on one second. Do you mind if instead of this blanket that we're sitting on, that we replace it with like several hamburger buns? Because I kind of got them for free.
All right, babe.
Yeah.
You're the meat in my bun. All right. You're like the meat in my bun.
Really?
So I just want to say that.
Wow.
You know, like sometimes there are hinds to climb, but, you know, you're in a pickle if you don't let us find our love, right?
Wow. You know, finding a love like this is so rare. That you have to make sure that everything you do is well done.
All right. Well, I just want to talk about this morning, because like, I needed a moment to get my head in order, you know, because basically I just like, my brain was ground. You know what I mean? And it wasn't until it was like properly seasoned and excellently mixed and then turned into a smash burger that it really worked out. So I'd like to thank you for your guidance in that. You Burger King!
Yeah, and by the way, like, great work. Like, working towards your exercise goals, I would have to judge that right now you're probably like 90% meat, 10% fat. So congratulations on that ratio.
So he's like, I love you so much. I just, like, I know I had some anxiety this weekend. You had some anxiety this weekend. Like, we both had anxiety, but I was just trying to comfort you. So,
and she's like, in those moments, like, I'm not understanding where your, like, moon even came from last night, because, like, you were so snappy and aggressive and rude and mean. And he doesn't really deny it. So, I'm confused.
But he's
by this show. Like, I think they need to have at least car producers, cams, like in Below Deck.
There you needs know, to be a producer. There should be a producer in there with their phone, you know? So
yeah, because now we have a whole season that is hinging on this moment. What happened in that car? Because Kyle's like, well, you needed a witness for last night, bro. Like, he says that later. And he's going to be the witness, or he said it already, I don't remember. But he's going to be the witness to prove what an asshole Lindsay is. But Carl's not really denying that he was being an asshole. I just want to know what happened, you know?
But him not denying it doesn't mean anything, because Carl also hates conflict, and he wants to make things smooth, and he wants to resolve things. So even though he could say, I wasn't being a dick. You were the one who's reading into what I was saying. He's going to do, like, he's going to follow the lowest path of resistance in order to get to where this conversation needs to be.
Right, and I feel like that's the obvious choice for us to believe as an audience, is where they're saying, okay, Lindsay's obviously being crazy. She got really defensive because she was paranoid about the girls, and all Carl was trying to do was say, I support you. And I don't know. We don't know what it was, and it's making me crazy because everything hinges on this. And I have trouble that if someone was telling me you were so vicious to me and so mean and so terrible, that I wouldn't say, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I was literally just saying, I'm here for you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You made those comments last night, and it hurts to hear. I, like, are you on drugs and this and that, though? And, like, it just, like, seemed like you came from, like, a place where you thought I was, like, lying to you and saying, like, I'm not sober, but you were not sober, so.
Yeah, but I have, like, PTSD from, like, old Carl sometimes, because, like, old Carl, like, to me, came out last night and didn't even have a burger, and I'm trying to search to, like, where it came from and why, and I'm, like, asking every question in the book to find out why.
Yeah, and she's like, I think she lays it out pretty good here, where she's like, you know, I know that Carl, and I saw that Carl, and where is that coming from? And he just kind of you know, moose pasty. He's like, well,
You know, like, I'm scared of old Carl, too. You know what I mean? Like, old Carl was, like, selling laughing gas to Dennis. So I don't want you to feel like that, you know? But, like, I have emotions, too, you know? I mean, this is the last summer before we get married. Like, who knows what's going to happen next summer? Like, marriage? Then maybe a baby or something? Like, who knows where we're going to even be living? So, like, this is, like, the last chance. Like, we have to start on a fresh foot. You know what I mean?
And she's like, okay, that's fair.
Great. So, can we have like a great weekend?
Yeah. Okay. Love you.
Love you too. Let's kiss. Whoa. You just gave me a tongue. Wow.
Yeah.
And here's a thing about taking sides in a couple like this. At the end of the day, they're always going to end up making out. You're going to be wrong. I think even now that they have gone through all of this drama, and they're trying to make their own Scandoval thing or whatever, I think still they will have moments where they're just like, let's have a makeout weekend, you know?
Yeah. So now it's time to pick up all the trash and everything and clean up. And they're all going to go back to the house. And Amanda's like, you know, like, oh, my God, my dogs. You hear them? They're like barking. Puppies. What's going on? She's just so happy to not have to have. She's excited to have an excuse to not talk to Kyle. She can just lavish her attention onto these dogs.
So then Carl and Lindsay are back at like,
hey, babe.
Hey, babe, you want to take a shower, babe?
Y'all want to take a shower, babe. You're dirty right now, babe. You need to take a shower.
Babe.
Yeah, like a really good shower.
So then they're playing like dance music. And then it's just like West calmly walking around his room, changing his shirt.
Yeah.
The music's a little misplaced. And then Kyle puts on this yellow shirt and yellow shorts matching outfit with his mullet. He is so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he looks in the mirror. He's like, I love this for me.
Yeah, it's very Tweety Bird. Oh, hey, babe, you're doing a great job cutting stuff in the kitchen. Yeah, you're doing a great job, Liz. Wow, the way you just, like, slice that vegetable, like, you did great. You did great, babe. I was thinking, like, maybe I can start, like, a job where I just, like, cheerlead for people chopping vegetables in the kitchen. What do you think, babe?
This is what we do in the couple. Like, you go to work and then chop things after. And I go, great job, babe.
She's like, I'm a chop-ovational speaker.
So he goes out with one group and she stays with the other group to cook. And Danielle, Amanda, Carl, West, and Sierra are going to a restaurant. So she's like, oh my God, we're all dressed different from each other. We're like dressed for the Hamptons and you guys. Amanda's like, I'm dressed up for like Club Con.
I'm going to have a virgin mojito, please. Thank you so much. Hey, Amanda, are you missing Kyle and the dogs? Ha.
She's like, no. And she's like, no. So then we cut back to the other group in the kitchen. And Gabby's like, oh, my God, is this how people feel on Thanksgiving? Because, like, I'm over this.
Yeah, I think what we should do is we should go, like, meet the group out. Like, we don't give them a chance to come out. We just go out. We, like, we know when we send it, we'll send ourselves out. Let's do that. Yeah.
So he turns on his fog machine. Just feel, I don't know. Kyle, you know, Kyle's a good boy, but he fills me with sadness. It just makes me sad sometimes.
The fog machine and the speakers, I think Club Send It is just a very depressing concept on this show. Like, it's just really one of the saddest things.
I feel like he and Danielle are just clinging to the last vestiges of something. I don't know.
You know.
Youth. I don't know what it is, but it's just clinging, you know? And it's it makes me sad. Okay, so restaurant. So West is like, guys, does anyone know why cheersing was invented? And Sierra's like, yeah, because if your enemy poisoned you, you had to like clink some of your drink in their glass, because then you'd both have to drink each other's thing. And he's like, oh my God, she knew that. I learned that in Milwaukee. My parents went there for their anniversary. They pretty much ignored me the whole time. But I got to go still, and I heard that story, and no one's ever heard it besides me. It's so hot.
So hot. Yeah. And Sierra's like, yeah. Hi, I'm Sierra. Nice to meet you. I know all sorts of anecdotes. Amazing. So then we go back to the house.
I don't trust Sierra in this relationship. I think she's going to hurt West.
She is going to,
and
of
West
course.
Is just a sweaty little innocent person, you know?
He is. Sweet West. Although I'm a little concerned because at the beach day, he told us that he has a little baby crush on Sierra. And when people talk about, anytime someone says, I have a little baby crush, or I have a kindergarten crush on someone. That's like fuckboy talk. So that was my first true red flag on Wes. But other than that, love him. Love his addition to the show.
I just think she's going to hurt his feelings. I'm getting like douchey vibes from her. Like she's faking it.
She is. She's not into him whatsoever. He's not tall enough. Everything she talks about, like, I've had funny. I don't need funny again. What she's really saying is, I want tall. I don't care what the personality is. It could literally be a terrorist. I just want tall.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's not the case, but
it is.
So then Paige is like, okay, let's play a game. We're going to play celebrity, but, you know, obviously, like, Lindsay's here, so we're going to have to change the name. We're just going to call it Onion Chopper. Okay, so name, I'm going to put a post-it on your head, and you're going to name a person at the restaurant, and we're going to have to guess who it is.
And Kyle's like, okay. He's got Sierra on his forehead. He goes, am I a bitch?
And Paige is like, yes.
It's like, that doesn't really narrow it down. Okay, do I have perfectly sized melons?
They're like, yes. He's like, Amanda. They're like, no.
Although that's the correct answer, but you are on a TV show. I mean, I think that's like a prerequisite for this show. So Jess is like, are my vibes? Oh, Jesse. Jesse's like, are my vibes a level 9 or above? And they're like, no.
No.
Goes, I think your vibes are like a 2 or below. And Paige goes, yeah, actually, like, I feel like we should check your hemoglobin levels. And he goes, I'm Amanda.
I'm Amanda. Okay, wait a second. All right, how about me? Am I about 75 years old and think I'm accomplished because I've sold a few burgers for White Castle? Am I Lindsay?
Lindsay's like, shut up, Paige. What do you want to eat right now? A burger.
Worked it. It worked.
She's got it. I'll give her that. So Wes goes to the bathroom at the restaurant, and Amanda's like, Wally's gone. Sierra, you guys are like so cute together.
You know, you guys know I'm into a fun personality. I mean, look at my personality. It's literally probably the most fun personality on Bravo. Am I right? But I'm a slow burn. You know, it's only the second weekend. He's also not tall. Not tall at all.
She's worked on it, don't you think? Her personality.
She has.
I think she's come back this year where she's definitely had some kind of media training. Or she's just finally comfortable on camera or something. She's, like, more fun than usual.
She has worked on her personality, and she has blossomed over the years. But she's still, I would not call, one of the most magnetic people we have on screen. She's beautiful. She seems very nice and very lovely. I would not say that she's incredibly compelling. I love that she can't tell the difference between an oven and a microwave. I think that's a great addition to her.
That's an important part of being on the Summer House cast.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I remember going to their panel at BravoCon and just literally walking out. I mean, I walked out of every panel because they're boring, but especially theirs. And it wasn't really just her. It was the whole vibe of it. I remember telling you, these are a bunch of fundamentally uninteresting people. Like, I cannot believe you have to watch, you watch something like that, and then you watch a show and you think, wow, there really is magic in editing. There are people who make something out of literally nothing, and good for them. They're doing great over there. Let's raise our glass to the editors, shall we?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So the dog barks. Wes comes back and they're pretending, you know, not even pretending, they weren't talking about him. And Carl's like,
oh, cloudy with a chance of eavesdropping.
Your weather forecast looks great, by the way. So now they are back at the house, they're eating dinner, and there was a dog that's outside. And it's at the door, like, I'm ready to come back in. And like, oh my God. We forgot that there was a dog here. Oh my God, Amanda's going to literally kill us. Like, where's the other dog? How'd that dog get out there? And Kyle's like, I think someone left the door open. So he's now like very nervous. He's like, I guess I should probably find this other dog. Otherwise, Amanda will literally kill me.
And he's walking around the house wasted. He's like, I can't believe the dog's not here. Where are the dogs? Who let the dog out? It's bullshit, guys.
And he goes outside to look for the dog.
The dog.
And the music, the drama starts.
It's scary music.
My God. He can't find the dog. And so he comes back in. He's like, oh my God, come on. Can anybody help me? Come on.
I didn't get a tick in my dick in the woods for nothing.
Because, of course, that's what Carl's thinking of. The minute he goes outside, he's like, I should pee out here. I ain't getting a tick on my dick.
Like, come on, help me. So the music is, like, very intense. And I was even thinking, like, shit, this dog may have died. Like, this dog may have run away. This is going to be an issue. And then Lindsay just goes upstairs, and Reese is just in the room.
Like, oh, it's right here, actually.
And the music just goes.
So then we cut back, and Amanda's like, oh my God, can we talk about how amazing it is that we have Carl here tonight? He never gets away from Lindsay because she's so mean and controlling. Am I right, guys? Like, Amanda's always, like, poking, you know? But you were the one who spent last season losing your fucking mind over Kyle being out too late. Or was that the season before? Where she was having a breakdown and voicemailing him like 30 times in a row.
She's just like a Niagara Falls of misery. So Carl is like, well, yeah, well, last night, like, Lindsay and I, we do spend, like, a lot of time together. And, like, last night, we were just, like, kind of dismissing each other, like, cloudy with a chance of dismissal, right? But she was, like, she felt like I was dismissing her, which is funny because she was actually dismissing me. But, like, you know, my perspective doesn't really matter. So it's just, like, you know. So
this
just,
is, like really upsetting. So I was, like, is this, like, cloudy with a chance of being dismissed? And she was, like, do you mean cloudy with a chance of meatballs or do you mean cloudy with a chance of burgers? Because, like, burgers are the flat meatball. And I was like, no, meatballs are balls because they're, yeah, like, meat. And then she wouldn't speak to me. So, like, I'm not really sure what to do with that.
And I, like, literally showed her the book. And I was like, look, there are literally hamburgers in this book as clouds. And, like, the meatballs are a totally different entity. And, like, you can't have cloudy with a chance of meatballs, like, with the burgers. Because it's different. Like, the burgers are the clouds. Do you, like, understand these two concepts? And she was like, no. She, like, would not hear it from me.
So, like, why don't you support me? And I was like, why do you smash meatballs?
She thought I was being, like, dismissive of her, and she said it's just a hamburger and not a meatball, and it was like we went around in a loop. It was, like, awful, you know, but, like, I get it. I love her.
So Sierra's like, so how are you supposed to maintain this in the long term? Like, being in a relationship with someone who has drinks and then a tendency to be kind of obnoxious and rude when she's drinking.
Just puts it all out there. And Carl's like, yeah, well, I think she's gotten, like, better. Like, now when she drinks, she just accuses me of being on coke, which is, like, totally fine. And, like, we go to couples therapy. And, like, it's, like, hard sometimes. But, like, I will say, like, you know, we always do come back together unless coming back together was work, in which case, you know, I quit.
And Danielle's getting really uncomfortable and making a big show of, like, being uncomfortable that they're talking about her now best friend again, Lindsay, because she's like, I'm going to have to go tattletale on all these people. So then we go back to the kitchen, and Gabby and Lindsay are talking, and Gabby's like, oh my God, how did the conversation with Danielle go? And, like, a page, like, you and Lindsay haven't talked either. And last time you guys talked, it was, like, in April. That did not go well. I called my sister and I was like, you will not believe what just happened. And she was like, girl. And I was like, girl. And she was like, girl. I was like, oh, I was crazy, you guys. It was nuts.
For 3 hours. And so we see the clip of Paige being like, you're fucking nuts. And she's like, well, I'd rather be nuts than boring. So we come back and Paige's like, yeah, well, that's just like me and Lindsay, though. You know, it's like when you have a crazy old grandma. And Lindsay's like, yeah, but, like, I don't like that that's, like, our thing, you know? Like, it doesn't have to be that way. And Gabby's like, will that work for you?
She's like, I don't know. Why are we talking? How did I end up in a room with Lindsay? And Lindsay's like, I think that you've thought that I've done stuff in the past that I haven't done before. And then we get a clip of Paige at the reunion going, oh, you didn't write an article about Amanda's wedding as an anonymous source? You did. And you said Craig was kicked out of Kyle and Amanda's wedding? Sources claim sources. Mm-hmm. And then we cut back and Lindsay's like, you think I leaked a story about Craig? Yeah. And it was Danielle. I died laughing. I was laughing so hard. I can't believe this show can still get to me. Every time I'm like, this show's stupid. All they're going to do is sit around and drink all summer. I hate this show now. It just takes a moment like this to remind me I'm still in love, guys.
Still in love. So Paige is like, oh my God. And then she's like, you know what? She should have absolutely spoken up and said, you can dislike Lindsay for XYZ reasons, like her personality, her attitude, her roots, her personality, her hair, her clothes, her personality. But I am guilty of the story planting.
Yeah, that wasn't right. Also, do we need this many cutting boards?
Like, how many cutting boards does this house have? We don't even have a full-size onion here, full-size oven here. How do we have 19 cutting boards? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Lindsay was doing the dishes, and there were like four or five huge cutting boards behind her, like leaning up, drying off. I was like, how many did you guys use? You don't need every cutting board in the house.
Well, I'm a burger maker now, so.
Yeah, this is from Bear Burger. Paige, why are you sticking that cutting board to my forehead? We're playing another game. We're going to put down the name of senior citizens on each other's cutting boards and put them on our foreheads. And we have to guess who they are. Okay, you have Jessica Tandy. I have you. Oops, sorry.
Twinsies. So Paige is like, I think that Lindsay is telling me this because she wants me to turn against Danielle and then tell all the girls to turn against Danielle, which isn't really how I would personally go about it, but Lindsay doesn't really know any other way, and she's making an effort, so I appreciate it.
She's like, Lindsay is using her evil in my aid, so I'm with it. She's learning. Yeah.
So Lindsay and Paige do like a little handshake, and now everyone goes out, they meet out, and they come back. And it looks like everyone's gonna just like come back and just like go to sleep. But then the fog machine goes on, like the fog machine's on, and then the speakers are on. And, you know, it's like late night hijinks.
And Lindsay's wasted. She's like,
so girl, I had a good night. I made progress. I totally settled on Danielle.
He's like, oh, Sunday. And so they make out. They're totally in love. It's like such an evil couple. Like, yeah, good job, babe. Good job betraying Danielle. Let's bone.
And then they're like, Jesse's like really mad at Gabby. He's like, you blew my 5-star Uber rating. She's like, what? Apparently had something to do with the car. Like, yeah, there was something.
Danielle comes in mad at them, and he's like, I can't believe you just blew my 5-star rating. I've gotten in trouble with my friend for that, too, because I opened nachos in the car, and I got yelled at. She's like, Ronnie, this is my Uber. Kill my rating. Sorry. So then apparently Gabby she's like, I couldn't get out of the car. And Danielle's like, you couldn't get out of the vehicle? She goes, no, we couldn't get in the gate, Danielle. She goes, the gate was open. Oh.
So the fog machine is whirring to life, and then the fire alarm, of course, starts to go off. Like, the smoke alarm is, like, annoying everyone. Amanda's just, like, lying in the bed with the dog. She just wants to be with the dog. She does not want to be married to Kyle anymore. And then Jesse, Kyle and Wes are, like, lying on Wes' bed, and then Jesse comes in, just, like, farts on top of their face.
He squats on top of them and then farts in their faces, which is interesting after our Vanderpump Rules recap this week. It's just a farty kind of a week in our recaps.
Big farts.
So then it's in the morning. West and Kyle go to bed together, and they wake up in the morning. <They're> like, West is cuddling Kyle. He's got his leg over Kyle.
They're spooning in bed in the morning. It is so cute.
Okay. So then Amanda's like, when do you fall asleep, Kyle?
He's like,
so then Carl kisses Lindsay awake. It's time to go back to the city or whatever. And Sierra's flirting with West. And she's like, want to take my bags down? He's like, yeah, what's your week like? You're busy Thursday. She's like, are you saying I'm busy Thursday? Sort of date night? He's like, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get you car service because I know you like that. That's like a big gesture.
I'm sorry, but you know who never sent a car for her? Austin.
That's true. That's true.
She doesn't want a guy who's going to send a car for her. She's full of shit.
Nope. So
she wants a guy that would like try to run over her and be she didn't mean it, y'all.
She wants a guy who's going to walk in the restaurant first before her. So now they leave. They go back to the city, and Paige is making a smoothie, and she's like, "Hey, Amanda, if you have anything important to say, say it to me right now." Ha! I didn't hear.
We're on the top of the world, we're unstoppable.
And West is sweating. I love when they play like really positive music while someone is just struggling their way through the city. West is just, he's wearing the see-through shirt and his got that, I don't know, he looks like he's 40 if a day, and he's got that 16-year-old boy hair, you know? It's just so bad, and he's sweating, and Sierra comes in the big, he got her an Uber Black. I mean, he got her one of the huge SUVs.
Yeah.
So he really went all out for this one.
He really did. He tells us, he's like
the tallest car they have.
He's just trying to get like tall energy from vehicles. He actually really should have gotten a really short, small car. So when she gets out, he proportionally seems much taller. So he is like, you know, I've been on a zillion dates in New York City, but like, obviously this one, the stakes are high. Like if you have a bad date with a girl on Hinge, you never see them again. But like this one, I'm going to see her like 900,000 more times. At which point Jordan showed up. I was like, actually, funny story, as the former number one bachelor on Hinge, I have to say that like all the people I've ever gone on dates with, I saw them multiple times because we all had sex in a giant room together. And just before I ejaculated on their faces, I suddenly had to run out of the room and go to the hospital. True story.
Turned out because Meredith Baxter Burney was fingering my asshole and she lost a push-on nail up there. I had to go get it taken out of the hospital and then every single nurse lined up to fuck me because they heard Hinge's most popular bachelor was in there. It was amazing. My dick is exhausted. Not Jordan.
Yeah.
I wonder what Jordan's up to these days. We miss you, buddy.
Falling out of a bed because I got such an intense blowjob. That's what I'm up to. And you know what else is up? My penis, because I never wound up coming.
Oh, so Sierra's like, nice, you brought your nipples out for dinner. And he's like, haha, you like that? She's like, you're sweating a lot. You nervous? And he's just red and sweating, which I get, because, you know, I had that issue. And so he says something which I think is very relatable to all of us, where he goes, do you like mezcal? Because I always think I want a mezcal, but then I get one and I really hate it. Isn't that relatable? Mezcal's disgusting.
I love mezcal, so oh, it's not relatable on. To me, and I stand by it. Okay, things I like that I see on the show, mezcal and Kias.
Shame on you. Yeah. Not for the Kia part.
Yeah. Well, so they're just, they talk, and, you know, she was a Girl Scout. He was in Girl Scouts. She was in Girl Scouts, and you know, they talk.
Yeah, well,
they have a date.
He's super impressed because he guessed that she does not have like any outdoorsiness about her.
Wow,
I feel like people in guessed. New York are always trying to like compete. It's like Luke. You know, that was the Luke vibe. Like, I'm so outdoorsy, and I live in New York City, but like I'm obsessed with like chopping wood. You know,
yeah.
There's always that type. And Sierra's like, excuse me, I may live in New York City, but I was like a top climber. I hiked in multiple states.
Yeah, because he was like, because he's like, what's your outdoors like? And he guesses that she was in the Girl Scouts for 2 years, but she was in it for 12 years, or K through 12, I should say. So then he loves. She's like, what's a fun fact? He goes, I love deviled eggs, which I don't think is a fun fact. I think like a lot of people love deviled eggs.
Well, he doesn't have any fun facts. I mean, he blew his wad. Like, I traveled to every state with my parents, but he was just saying that because they ordered deviled eggs. So he was about to eat a deviled egg. That's amazing.
You could tell how much I was really paying attention during this scene.
Well, it's
like,
just,
you're on a date. I don't know. It was not interesting to me.
One thing about this show and these shows, Winter House and this one, they have to fuck each other. It's an awkward thing. It's like a bachelor setup. Like they have to, the whole goal of being on the show is kind of human trafficking in a way. It's like you're cast, but you better find someone to fuck or you're out of here. You know, they've got that kind of vibe to it. So watching people try to fake that they like each other just to stay on TV. Wes, I'm kind of buying it because he just wants to be accepted. But Sierra, we've seen Sierra do this with how many people? She's never into it. I mean, she's just so above it all. And I don't mean she feels like she's above it all. I mean, she's literally above it all. She's so gorgeous. She's so smart. And she has like a real career. So she's always bored with the losers they pair her up with. But it's like, here we go. Let's watch another season of Sierra trying to pretend that she will ever care for any of these idiots.
Well, but now she actually is paired with someone who seems pretty great. But she's gone on so many dates and been around so many losers that her guard is so up that she's not even going to give this non-tall person a chance, you know? And then she also has her thing where they have to be tall. Whether she wants to admit it or not, that's her thing. So now we go to another date. Lindsay and Carl. They're going to go on a little date lunch. They're going to go to
the sober bar. Here's why I take Lindsay's side on everything. She cannot fake it. Lindsay can't fake anything. She has to be honest. Like, it's not even honest. She literally, I think it's like some kind of a disorder, actually. I don't even think it's necessarily a good quality, but Carl is so good at just being like, hey, I just wanted to bring you to like Sober Bar. Amazing. Isn't this amazing? Look at that lady's eyebrows. Love her. Sober Bar. So I just wanted to be here with you because I love you and like talk about my future. And Lindsay's like, this is stupid.
I know. She's like, really
Bar is stupid and you're a loser. So like, he's trying to have this romantic scene to like, look, we're totally into each other. And she's like, I'm going to kill you if you don't get a job. Like, she can't fake it. So I believe Lindsay.
So I wanted to talk like career stuff and like where I'm going my next phase. And like, I've been like really relishing that like I don't have to have like a 9 to 5 or, you know, 9 to 5 to 9 to 4 or like a 9 to 11.
2 to 4 would be bad. 2 to 2:30, not great either. I'm not going to lie.
I'm so glad I don't have to do 5 minutes of work every day. And so,
sorry, it's been great. It's been great. I've really, like, been loving your spending time in this sober bar. Yeah. Lindsay, you want to order something without alcohol? She's like,
yeah, I've been out running influencer errands like Paige. So, hey, bartender, I'll try whatever you want to give me, except for your eyebrows. You can keep those.
She's like, all right, kid, here's a virgin mark.
Give me your strongest drink. That was a joke. They're all weak. So she's like, so, Carl, what do you want to do? Because you say you want to do stuff, but there's not a lot of movement between doing it. Sort of like not a lot of movement between that bartender's hand and the bottle of vodka I brought in to help this sad bar.
And she goes,
I'm so attracted to, like, you know, drive and determination. Like, let's go to the bathroom right now.
And he goes, oh, you want to go to the bathroom right now? She goes,
no, not at this point, Carl. She just said, what are you going to do with your life? I'm attracted to drive and determination. You're not doing anything. That's the point. Are you paying attention?
Literally sitting at a bar. And she's like, no, I don't want to go to the bathroom right now.
So he's like, well, at some point, the alarm will sound.
Yeah, well, guess what? It's like sounding for me. And listen, I could always reopen my PR firm and like take, you know, like, but like if I'm maybe like taking care of children, like I've got to be realistic with my time. I can only like take on so many burger clients at a moment. So like, I'm going to need you to help out a little bit.
Yeah, she's like, I would be more comfortable personally if there was like a timeline.
And he's like, oh, well, by the end of the summer, like, I should know where I'm going. I mean, I just want to be a voice for things that I've been through, you know? So I'm thinking a sports bar with no alcohol.
A sober sports bar.
She looks at him like, I know you are sober right now, but you must be high to come up with that idea. like what?
And that's like, is there an idea that Cocaine Carl did not come up with?
And for him to say, I want to be a voice for things I've been through, you'd think that he's going to do, like, write a book or, like, go and do speak about it or like, do some nonprofit stuff. I'm going to open up a sports bar with no alcohol. Literally, no. That's called going to, like, a pizza parlor or something. I don't know.
No. Yeah, it's not going to work. Also, I think it's rough focusing so much on the sober part of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to do something that's all sober. We have to go to a bar, but it's a sober bar because you're still trying to replace the alcohol. And I know from my experience, you can't replace it. There's nothing to replace it, unfortunately. It's just, it's always there and you can't have it. You're not letting yourself have it. You can't just be like, I'm going to go to a bar and it's going to be the same thing, but it's not a bar. No, there is no such thing. You know, you just do other, you have to find other things to do. It worries me and it worries her too for different reasons. And hers are monetary. She's like, hi, we have, we're married now, Kia, and like a $13,000 a month apartment, Carl. Isn't that how much our apartment was last year?
It's a lot. I kind of feel
it's
like
a lot. And we're not spending money on renting you a fucking bar in New York City. Are you fucking crazy, Carl?
I just feel bad. I mean, if you went to, it sounds like he went to the communications school at Syracuse, which is one of the top in the nation. And if you went through that program and you're a celebrity and you have podcasting equipment, but you can't even get the ball rolling on a podcast, and like when you could probably get a deal with any of these networks just because of who you are and you have a story to tell, and you can't even do that, that's very concerning, I think. Very, very concerning. Yeah. Just press record.
And so she's like, well,
you could do it, Carl. Come on.
So he's like, there's a sports bar, no alcohol. And she's like, and he goes, well, like, there's a lot of interesting things in that world. And she's, listen, I don't know about brick and mortar. And he's like, exactly, it's risky. She's like, yeah, I'm going to say no to that because I've been in hospitality like my entire life, representing every lounge, restaurant, bar, taco contract. And I'm telling you, I do not want that in our future family. Okay. And he's like,
oh, she's just shitting all over my dreams. Like, she doesn't want to invest all of our money.
Yeah,
into a bar without booze. It's crazy.
I actually really liked that Lindsay didn't even entertain this, wasn't even like, oh, cool, that's a nice... She just like, nope, not with our assets. No, we're starting a family. I'm not having you open up, like, in New York City, a sober sports bar, okay?
Well, it's hard not to feel for Carl, right? Because Carl's doing a lot to... Carl's making a huge effort in his life, you know? And so it sucks to see his dreams get shit on, but like, I don't get better dreams.
He just, it's sad. He doesn't know what
have a shitty dream that's free,
you know?
Yeah, but he's never known. And a lot of times, look, not everybody's going to have a huge direction in their life, but you still have to do something. I don't think that many people get to just be like, I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to. I'm with somebody. They can let me do something. I'm just going to think about it.
Well,
you still have to have a job. Have a job while you're thinking about it.
That's the thing is that everyone... I feel like, especially on these shows, I feel like on Bravo, there's like this pressure to everyone to be Bethany Frankel in the best sense of Bethany Frankel, into like that you have a brand that you are going to, you're push on, you're going to use this platform while you have it. I think there's like a huge amount of pressure, which is why you see these people floundering and falling over themselves to be like, here is an all natural spray that you can make doorknobs shinier on, and you can buy it now. And they're all trying to be these entrepreneurs, and not everyone is an entrepreneur. Just work a retail, get a retail job, answer something on Craigslist, go onto monster.com, go on ZipRecruiter, just like take a job, get a job.
Yeah.
A regular job. It doesn't, you don't have to be the next Bill Gates. And from there, you will maybe find what you're interested in.
I don't know. Right? But we know what's happening with this couple. And then we see in the previews where she says something like, oh my God, you're just like Sandoval, which I think is so funny that she's trying to turn her whole story for this year into another Scandoval type situation. And she's even evoked Ariana's name in the first episode. And then they evoke it again later while they're having this big violent breakup.
Well,
I don't know.
It looks like, I'm sure the pendulum's going to swing right back to Carl for next week. So last week, Carl got the win. This week, I personally feel like Lindsay got the win, but I'm sure Carl's going to get a win next week.
I think that people are going to be super pissed at Lindsay this week. Again, I think that people are pissed off at her. For not supporting his dream and for shitting all over it right when he came out with the dream, because people are just full of shit. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh my God, but Carl's trying so hard. And I agree, Carl is trying so hard, but... We're old, like trying to do something. Stop trying to do something. Get a fucking job. I can't support somebody who's sitting here saying like, I don't have a job. I'm not going to have one. And now I want to take our money and open a fucking bar, even though I've never worked in one and never done anything but sell cases of something that's already selling because it's on a TV show. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry. Why am I saying I'm sorry? Anyway, that's the end of this one. Thank you to everybody for being a member here on Patreon. We sure love you guys. Love doing this. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony,
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.